The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I think that what Jimmy Carter is an example of is just simple decency. Simple decency. And I think that's what the rest of the world looks to America for.
So is there anything you're asking President Trump to take from President Carter? Decency.
Everybody deserves a shot. Everybody. Can you imagine Jimmy Carter walking by someone who needs something and just keep walking? Can you imagine Jimmy Carter referring to someone by the way they look or the way they talk?
Russia has been proven by our intelligence community to have interfered with one of our human rights, which is the right of free and fair elections. Yes. What's your reaction? How should we deal with Russia?
Well, the president himself should condemn it, admit that it happened, which I think 16 of intelligence agencies have already agreed to say. And there's no doubt that the Russians did interfere in the election. And I think the interference, although not yet quantified, if fully investigated, would show that Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election, and he was put into office because the Russians interfered on his behalf.
And you take a look at the Panama Canal, it was such an incredible engineering marvel. We sold it under Jimmy Carter. We sold it to Panama for $1. The following day, they quadrupled the amount of money the ships had to pay to get across. They didn't lose one ship. And now they've made it much bigger, and now they've widened it. They've doubled it, right? They've more than doubled it. And it's one of the most profitable things any time. It's just incredible, right? We gave it away for $1. China now controls it. They actually control the Panama Canal. They run it. They control it. And we shouldn't let that happen. And we can't let China be in Cuba. And they'll get out. If I'm president, they'll get out. And we gave it away for $1. Think of that. How stupid are we? We have done the stupidest things in this country.
That cold open there reveals so much about the media, the way that they report on the news, the way that they revise history. Here they are. Jimmy Carter, as you saw there, he's an election denier. He believes that Vladimir Putin installed Donald Trump in 2016. Added to that, he gave away the Panama Canal for $1. Ask, you know, the families of those hostage victims back in the late 70s, languishing away in Iran. Ask them about how nice Jimmy Carter is or was. Jimmy Carter, of course, died over the weekend. And here comes the regime media to tell you he's the best ever. He never sent out a mean tweet. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this, as I was just reminded, this final show of the calendar year. Tomorrow, remember, we've got the end of the year montage. It goes for 59 minutes, so you get some bonus time with Trumpet Daily. Just know that tomorrow it launches right into the year that was 2024. And you'll go with that, the footage, all the clips that the guys have put together. You'll go with that for almost an hour on tomorrow's show. So this means that today's show is the final day, or the final show of 2024. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/ Trumpet Daily. As I've mentioned with Rumble, we've got, I think, 9,200 followers now. Just a couple years ago, it was at a couple hundred, 200-300 followers. So we've had some pretty good growth on the Rumble channel over the last 2 years, the last 24 months. And speaking of this past calendar year, I think for me personally, this is show 232 for the calendar year. It wasn't that long ago where we were, our goal was to get in 200 per year. I think that's about the industry standard for a daily program, 200 shows per year. But there was just so much going on this year. There has been really in the last 3-4 years where I think we've averaged 220 to 230 programs, at least for me. Of course, we've had some subs fill in from time to time, and they've done a fantastic job, as so many of you have noted in your email feedback. You can email the show, of course, at td@thetrumpet.com, or you can leave a comment underneath one of the shows at Rumble as well. So you might not have heard it there in the cold open, but one of those reporters asked Joe Biden, the fake president, well, what is it that Donald Trump could learn from Jimmy Carter? And the fake president says, decency. He was just so decent. And of course, that's the way Joe Biden fancies himself. He's just a decent human. And the media, they're right there to play along. Yeah, they're decent. They're so nice. How many scriptures are there? We've gone through them on this show over and again about people being deceived by flattering words. Just nice sounding words. I mean, there's something to be said for that, obviously. I went through Psalm 15 yesterday, and it talks about, you know, what we need to be striving for if we want to dwell in the presence of God. And the psalmist, King David, he lists off 11 characteristics. These are inspired by God. And, you know, how you treat your neighbor and all that factors in. It's very important. But at the same time, I mean, this it's so predictable. Yeah, Reagan, mean, nasty. It's not just Donald Trump. George W. Bush, mean, nasty. You know, he hates people, he hates minorities. And then you get to Donald Trump. And he certainly does send out some provocative tweets from time to time. But at the same time, the Bible says to judge by actions. It does matter what we say. God says in the Psalms, he's concerned about even what our hearts are saying. It's important as true Christians to speak the truth and to find the balance, to find the God-inspired balance between turning the other cheek, as it says in the Sermon on the Mount, and kicking over some tables in the temple, as you can read about in John chapter 2. Jesus did that. Jesus had that perfect balance between righteous indignation and, of course, total meekness and humility. Being a peacemaker. He made peace. Nobody fulfills that role, even Christians, as perfectly as we should. Christ, of course, is the perfect example. He's our headmaster. We're to follow in his steps as the scriptures bear out. But as you see in the cold open, look at how many people are just so fooled and deceived by words. You can get away with murder in some cases. And if you say the right things, or if you maybe look the right, if you're attractive, as in the case of that assassin who took down that healthcare official, look at how many people on the left are in love with that guy. They think he's amazing. He's a murderer. And it's the same. It's the same with letting criminals across the border, and then saying, you know what, we're compassionate. We love people by doing this. Tell that to the family of Lake and Riley. This is Tom Homan. He's talking about closing the border and how that doing so actually saves lives, not just American lives. But it saves the lives of these illegals as well. And you can see in this montage, it's peppered with the bleeding heart liberals that are saying how much he hates people, how much he just wants to hurt people. This is clip 9.
We have no plan to separate children from parents. The parents will have to make a decision. That's parenting 101. But you, if you choose, I'm going to say it again, if you choose to have a child here in the United States while you know you're here illegally and you know you're on a court order to deport, that's on you. So I think most parents will keep their families together.
Congresswoman, when you hear those remarks, what are your initial thoughts?
Again, we have someone who doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, this idea of, oh, you know, you're illegal and then you go out and have a child. It's not quite that simple, especially
this idea of putting the onus on parents, saying it's up to them how many members of their families get deported.
So these are parents that are trying to do the right thing for their children and for their family. They're doing it out of love. So for Tom Homan to say that, I think it just shows you again the heart of cruelty, the dark heart that he and Trump administration folks have for these migrants. They like to dehumanize them. And the way that he speaks there is also very clinical and bureaucratic, disconnected from the real life of these people, of these human beings. And so I think that what we're in for is we're in for cruelty part two in this administration.
There has been a rude awakening. A rude awakening was in November at the election. That was a rude awakening that American people are sick of an open border. American people are sick of illegal alien crime in this country. I mean, how many young women had to be raped and murdered and burned alive? How many MS-13 and Trinidad Guaya had to be in our major cities committing crimes against U.S. citizens? How many angel moms and dads do we have in this country that lost their children at the hands of somebody that wasn't supposed to be here, and they're burying their children? You want to talk about family separation? And as far as family detention, all of a sudden the discussion goes from family detention to family separation. Family detention is the complete opposite of family separation. So look, I don't know who this lady is. Apparently she's not real smart. But she can say what she wants. Look, I made this clear. I don't care what they say about Tom Homan. Because, you know, I've done this job for a long time. I think the president got a mandate in November. He called me to help me fix the border. And look, under the Trump administration, we have the most secure border of my lifetime. We're going to get that secure border again, because secure border saves lives, and no one can argue that. Under the Biden administration, we've got a historic number of aliens have died across this border, nearly 4,000. An historic number of Americans, over a quarter million, die from fentanyl comes across that border. Their policies are killing Americans at record numbers. They're killing aliens at record numbers. President Trump is going to secure this border and save lives, just not of Americans, but of aliens, too. A secure border saves lives. That's exactly what we're going to do starting day one.
We've, in the past several shows, we've emphasized the contrast. We played that clip not that long ago, the commentator saying that, look, you can put 4 years of Trump alongside 4 years of bitter affliction or Joe Biden and see for yourself. Here's Homan saying that a secure border saves lives. And no one can argue with that. Well, he's not right about that last part, because you see the bleeding heart liberals arguing with it, saying it doesn't show love. It doesn't show compassion. We've got to have a wide open border. Let the fentanyl come in. Let the murders and the rapes play out how that they will. It's not as bad as ordinary crime in the United States. You've heard all the arguments. A secure border, the truth is that a secure border saves lives. Lives of Americans and lives of those trying to get into the country illegally. You take your child, on this long journey across Mexico, across the border into the United States. You're putting your child at risk, and yet look at the talking heads. To put the responsibility on the parents. Who does he think he is? It's just common sense, isn't it? You're going to be flattered by words, or are you actually going to look at the fruits of what's actually happening, of what's actually playing out on the ground? This next clip we have, it's a little bit longer. From Robert Redfield. He's the former director of CDC. And just think about, we're 4 years removed from all the COVID scaremongering, the hysteria. And here he's dropping all these truth bombs And as you listen to him, it's just a casual exchange between him and the Fox News host. But as you listen to him, you think, how could this have happened? And how come no one's held to account? Listen to this, clip 10.
They knew. Intelligence knew this was more probably, most likely, created in a lab. But they stopped that intelligence from flowing all the way up to the president. Why?
There clearly was a proactive decision by individuals to really only present one scenario for the origin of COVID, which is the natural spillover, which is the scenario that NIH was supporting. When I will say there really is no evidence for spillover whatsoever, just a lot of opinion. And all of the evidence, as we saw both with the FBI and the energy analysis when they came forward, really does point that this was a laboratory leak. So I don't know the political reason why people aren't honest, but clearly the intelligence agency has been duplicitous in this cover-up of the true origins of COVID.
There is the theory that our intelligence apparatus, be it the CIA or whoever it may be, was working with EcoHealth Alliance in partnership in China, in Wuhan, to monitor what they were doing in China. I guess for us to have insight, I guess most gratuitously, for us to at least have insight into what they were doing over there. There's other theories that we were actually helping send cookbooks over there to help create these bioengineered viruses. What do you make of this idea that EcoHealth Alliance was an apparatus for our intelligence agency?
Yeah, I think it's very, very possible that Peter Daszak and the EcoHealth Alliance was part of that. I think even as you pointed out, it's most likely that our intelligence agency had assets that were deployed inside that laboratory. And in fact, as a consequence, didn't want too much scrutiny into the laboratory. The scientific community didn't want the scrutiny into gain-of-function research in the laboratory because they didn't want the government to come in and regulate scientific research. The intelligence community, I think, really blocked any scrutiny because they didn't want scrutiny into potentially uncovering their assets that they had already deployed.
What would the intel agencies using EcoHealth Alliance be spying on China for? To avert exactly what ended up happening? Or a bioweapon being developed? Like, what were they monitoring? And then as a consequence, had to cover up their presence and what happened in that lab?
Yeah, probably monitoring the Chinese dual-use laboratories. As you know, the Wuhan laboratory was a dual-use military-civilian laboratory, and monitoring to see what type of biomedical research they were doing, particularly worrying about weapons of mass destruction and whether they were getting into research that was outside the grounds of what they should do by treaty. But sometimes I think intelligence communities just get satisfied just to have the intelligence.
If the intelligence apparatus was simply spying on China, okay, but we're being a little gratuitous. Is it possible, should we consider the fact that the intelligence apparatus was also helping to create these types of viruses where it's illegal in the United States, but actually helping to facilitate it for their own use, but using it on some foreign land in China to do it?
Yeah, I think it's possible, Will. I think it really is. I think that they're clearly, as you know, Tony Fauci was in charge of our biodefense strategy, almost $40 billion. Clearly, they were very involved, the Defense Department as well as the State Department and NIH,
right,
in doing this research in partnership with China. So I think you have to consider that as a possibility.
Here again, another point we make often, a little more emotion would be certainly appropriate. Given the magnitude of these lies, that's 100% that it was a lab leak. And yet, as Redfield explained there, the only scenario that the NIH would allow for while it was happening was the natural spillover. It just happened naturally. Now we know for sure, 100% a lab leak. And the funding and the intel agencies from the U.S. involved in that lab. Well, it's just to observe you know, to see if they were producing some kind of bio. That's the best case scenario. I mean, what if it's much more nefarious? If you have American authorities and intel agencies working together with the CCP to produce this bioweapon. And yet, you know, it's just kind of a discussion on Fox News. Hey, what about the theory? What about this theory? Look at the lies that have been exposed. Fauci and all those people that for the longest time, I mean, they made the rounds on TV, didn't they? They made the rounds and they sure sounded nice. They sure sounded like they were just trying to help you. Just trying to help the nation. Just looking out for Joe American. No, the only scenario that they allowed for at the NIH, you can see why these people are panicking over the thought of Bobby Kennedy coming in there and actually looking into these vaccines and all this scaremongering and telling you the truth. I mean, Kennedy wrote an entire book about the real Tony Fauci. It's a pretty sobering take on this man that everyone looked to almost like a god in 2020. I mean, even President Trump gave him too much power. That was just a few years ago. And now, I mean, at best, yeah, we were involved. Yes, we funded it. Yes, we were spying on them. But, you know, we were just doing that to kind of gather intel. What if it's worse? You had Obama and Fauci for their part. As Trump was coming in, and keep in mind, Jimmy Carter, I mean, the nicest president in history. Jimmy Carter is an election denier. Trump was installed by Putin. And whatever happened from 2017 to the outbreak in 2020, there still are details we don't quite know for sure. But it's obvious that Obama's people weaponized it in order to rig the election, in order to bring down Trump. And why not? I mean, he's a Russian asset. So we've got to mail out 100 million mail-in ballots. So they're just circulating all over the place. And they steal the election. And then it's only now, 4+ years on, where you just have this casual conversation. Of course, it came from the lab, and yes, the U.S. was funding it. What? You're just going to talk right over that? And no one's held to account? Nobody's even fired? That's right. That's how easy it is to be deceived by words. Nice sounding words. At least, as we've said in recent shows, at least the truth is being exposed. Whatever happens as far as people being held to account, I guess, remains to be seen. This is from the Daily Signal. What has HHS withheld on COVID-19 vax? Senator Ron Johnson's about to find out. He's from Wisconsin. It says here, a new letter from Senator Johnson puts federal health agencies on notice that he plans to subpoena unredacted records withheld by the Biden administration on potential adverse effects of the COVID-19 vaccines. So here's one congressman or a senator for his part trying to uncover the truth. You had to go on social media over the last several years. And mostly local reports, certainly nothing on MSNBC, CNN, about the vaccine side effects. You had to dig deep into social media just to find some honest reporting, because so much of that was covered up. It says here, it appears that even in the waning days of the Biden administration, your agencies will remain defiant in providing the public with complete information about the COVID-19 vaccines, says Johnson. It says, if it becomes necessary to subpoena these and other requested records in the next Congress, when I become chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, I will do so. So there's a senator promising to get to the bottom of this. Good for him. We'll see how successful it is. This is another story. We've had it on the stack or in the stack here for quite a few of our last few programs. Just talking about the COVID era, how dreadful it was, really the beginning in some ways of the bitter affliction brought on by the dear leader, brought on by Joe Obama, Barack Obama, the fake president that he installed. Interest rates were low at the time. People were getting these handouts from the government. This is just in 2020. There was cash flowing through our society as people were told to huddle up at home. Don't go out. You're going to kill grandma if you do. Remember that? It says here, Americans' credit scores skyrocketed during the pandemic. In an unexpected benefit of the upheaval, millions are now nursing the financial hangover. It's talking about how many people went into debt because they had to borrow because of this pandemic, because of this virus created in a lab that the intel communities of America knew all about. Oh, yes. People have been hurt by this, these lies. In the case of vaccine side effects, people have died. That's right. People died as a result of this bitter affliction. How many? It says here, people fell behind on credit card bills and car payments more often in 2024 than any point since the aftermath of the Great Recession. I mean, you can look at this and see that even with the Jeroboam resurgence, even with the return of Donald Trump, I mean, the sickness is through and through. The disease is spreading. And yes, he'll be able to come in and put a Band-Aid on a few things and give us a temporary, you know, relief from the bitter affliction. But how do you fix this? The worst since the Great Recession? That's right. And totally, totally self-inflicted. Die by suicide, as Abraham Lincoln once said. A lot has been made these recent days about the division in the Republican Party over the H-1B visa program. Elon Musk had some strong statements in opposition to Steve Bannon and the MAGA movement, Americans that just want the doors closed. They want the illegal immigration to stop. In some cases, they want the immigration to stop because we've got to put America first. We've got so many problems. You can see divisions in the Republican Party already. And of course, what the regime media wants for you to believe is that there are no divisions in the Democrat Party. In fact, the Democrat Party is going up in flames in so many ways. I mean, still, commentators are weighing in on just how disastrous the defeat was for Democrats in November. Listen to this. We've put a few clips together here on this next montage. Clip one.
Since the election, 7 out of 10 Democrats have tuned out politics. The party's on life support, and some are already writing each other's political obituaries. Politico says the end of the year obituary packages are publishing. And look what they're saying are the trends in politics that died in 2024. It's mostly what Democrats ran on. Celebrity endorsements, door-to-door canvassing, DEI, campaigning on abortion, trusting the experts. Politico says feel free to offer a quick moment of silence. We may not see them again.
Yeah, I think that historians will make a comparison to Jimmy Carter, although they might note that that was maybe unfair to Jimmy Carter. I mean, look, this is a presidency that was defined by high inflation, by global disorder, by chaos in energy markets, obviously the border. I think one thing that is different, though, in this case, is that if you look at Jimmy Carter, he and a lot of world leaders at the time were dealing with a great inflation of the time. They weren't quite sure what to do. They didn't have the lessons and the wisdom of the 1980s in supply side economics. Joe Biden had all that. He knew what not to do. He did it anyway in order to cater to a progressive base. The result were terrible policies, a very unhappy electorate, and a president who was ultimately booted by his own party.
And the clock's ticking for the old guard. One Democratic strategist says, I think there are going to be big demands for a greater reckoning. The Democratic Politburo, Obama, Pelosi, Schumer, Jeffries, and others all participated in the obvious lie that Biden was capable of a second term. In the anti-democratic move to install a wholly untested Vice President Harris, and in lacking the courage for the past 4 years to stand up to a progressive left whose policies are far out of touch with most voters, they all failed the test of leadership in this respect. And for that, the American people told them, you're fired. So what's next? The Democratic Party.
We'll see. You had Joe Biden over the weekend, according to the Washington Post, or I guess it's the Guardian, say something like he regrets stepping aside. He could have beaten Donald Trump. They're a party in disarray as well. It's paraphrasing from the Washington Post, saying that it contains the clearest signs yet that Biden thinks he erred in withdrawing his candidacy in July after a woeful debate performance against his rival for the White House, Trump, the previous month. It says here, Jimmy Carter died 100 years old. He must have honored his parents, but he was the second worst president after Obama in history. That might actually be a comment from one of our news gatherers. But here are all these, the regime media, talking about how great the Jimmy Carter presidency was. They'll say the same thing about Joe Biden. In fact, it's a party in disarray. False narratives abound. They're all over the place. They're all around. Just coming back to this momentous year, and you'll see it tomorrow in the end of the year montage. 59 minutes worth, as I said at the start. But to think about, amid all of the persecution, even the assassination attempts, plural, what a momentous year it was for Donald Trump. Here's Mark Levin from over the weekend talking about Donald Trump's triumphant year, clip four.
Trump's triumphant year. We're just weeks away from Donald Trump's second inauguration, what I believe to be the beginning of a historic presidency. One that might just save our republic. Donald Trump won in a landslide victory, despite all the political, character, and even physical attacks. It's really quite unbelievable what he was able to achieve under such heavy fire from the left.
It is unbelievable. And to see people now lining up to visit the winter White House in Mar-a-Lago, Will Cain made this same point that we've made a few times. On Bill Gates, in this case, wanting to meet up with the bad orange man. This is clip five.
Trump also, by the way, teased a surprise visit from Bill Gates. He says the Microsoft founder is taking the pilgrimage to the winter White House tonight. Gates went from donating $50 million to Kamala's campaign to now begging to see Trump. But at this point, really, who isn't? From Silicon Valley to Wall Street to Washington, everyone is lining up outside of 47's door. Even the great state of Canada. After threatening them with crippling tariffs and promising to cut down their taxes by 60% if they became our 51st state, top Canadian officials got on the first plane down to West Palm Beach to meet with the president-elect's team.
Everyone's lining up, as he says there, in this latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. Miracle victory. This is the January 2025 issue. Tomorrow's News Today, We were telling you, in fact, there's a infographic, excuse my voice, an infographic right in the middle of this this issue. Prophecy says Trump will return. We take you right through a timeline of all that has happened since 2020 and what we were saying along the way. We'll show you. We've put that infographic to video format. We'll show you that after the break. But for now, make sure, if you're not a Trumpet subscriber, make sure you call our operators and request your free subscription to the Trumpet magazine. The 800 number, as you can see there, 1-866-930-3024. We'll play that that 6-minute montage when we come back. Let's see. I had one more pretty important story. Maybe I can reserve that for after the montage, and if we have a little extra time, we'll read some feedback that we've gotten in recent days. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
Profoundly accept this nomination for President of the United States.
We have put together the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
And has been elected President of the United States. He is President-elect Joseph Robinette Biden.
It's like the old Green Bay power sweep. It's very simple. Very, just one thing leads to another, very logical, and the victory is affirmed.
We need to go into the Capitol! Into the Capitol!
But you have to go home now. We have to have peace.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
Is now officially in charge of Twitter.
I'm trying to do good for humanity and the future of civilization.
Trump is the Republican Party's biggest loser.
America's comeback starts right now.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted in a hush money case involving an alleged affair.
It's a very detailed indictment, and it's very, very damning. If even half of it is true, then he's toast.
Special Counsel Jack Smith on the first ever indictment of a former president for trying to steal an election.
Trump was just indicted for the fourth time, this time for his alleged efforts to overturn Georgia's 2020 election result.
Donald Trump is disqualified from holding the office of president.
Today's decision was unanimous. All nine justices agree that Trump cannot be barred from the ballot.
First former president of the United States convicted on criminal charges.
Guilty.
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 I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
The president clearly has immunity from prosecution.
A big, big victory for Donald Trump.
Take a look at what happened.
God must have spoken because he said the only thing that was going to make him bow out was the great Almighty.
Something going on. I mean, perhaps it's God wanting me to be president to save this country.
The Fox News decision desk can now officially project that Donald Trump will become the 47th president of the United States.
Well, it whets your appetite a little bit for tomorrow's 59-minute version of the year in review. Of course, that went back to 2020, but still a pretty good sweep of all that has happened in the lead up to the return of Donald Trump. As I say, a lot of that content is found right here in this issue of the Trumpet magazine, the January issue, the infographic that we have right in the middle of the publication. If you'd like to subscribe, you saw there at the end, just go to the Trumpet website, thetrumpet.com, or as you can see there at the lower third, just call our operators and say you'd like a free, there's no cost, no obligation, a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine, 1-866-930-3024. This final article that I just want to touch on from Real Clear Politics, Obama's censorship office goes bankrupt. We've talked in recent weeks about God exposing and silencing Obama. You had Michelle Obama over the weekend talking about, hey, I know it's been difficult these last couple months for some of you, but hey, Obama, my husband's got a presidential library. It's coming up in Chicago. It's just not working like it used to. They've lost the mojo. Here, I mean, the Global Engagement Center. This is of Obama's making. An office housed within the State Department and aiming to thwart disinformation and misinformation has been forced by Congress to close up shop. Here's where we are. What started out as swooning. I mean, you swooned before the dear leader. And they've been doing it in the media, in Congress, everywhere since 2008. But not so anymore. It says founded in 2016. That's the last year for Obama, the dear leader. And technically the product of an Obama-era executive order on counterterrorism, the GEC lapsed in December and lost congressional funding. Congress says that's enough. You know, you were supposed to counter terrorism, but instead, you've worked domestically to silence your political rivals. So we're not funding you anymore. Pretty amazing. The GEC, moreover, was involved with the Election Integrity Partnership, a consortium of left-wing nonprofit groups, universities, and federal agencies that pressured Twitter and Facebook to remove GOP-aligned content in the lead-up to the 2020 presidential election. Just one of many ways that they rigged and stole the 2020 election. And yet, Jimmy Carter, as you heard in the cold open, the late Jimmy Carter, in 2019, he said Donald Trump was installed as a Russian agent by Vladimir Putin. And here they cheated in plain sight for all to see. And then the Fedsurrection, as you saw there in that montage, that was meant to cover up any investigation into the rigged and stolen election. It says Taibbi, referring to that the commentator, the former Rolling Stone writer, demonstrated that the GEC pressured social media platforms in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic to moderate extensive content testifying to Congress in March 2023. Here's just one small example of Obama taking, or in this case, creating a government agency and using it to target political enemies. And Congress has finally wised up to it and says, you know what? No more funding. That's at Real Clear Politics. One final quote here. It says the GEC, as Taibbi and I investigated the GEC, the taxpayer-funded office even circulated internal guidance with the aim of discrediting our reporting and unfairly linking a congressman whom I interviewed to a Russian state news outlet. The saga, first reported by the New York Post, demonstrated the lengths to which the GEC would go to try to save itself from First Amendment scrutiny. It's just the way Obama designed it to be. Work in the shadows. Blot out any dissent. Censor. Censor the other side. And they got away with it. You saw there in that montage. 2022, it's hard to believe it was that it was that recent that Elon Musk comes along. No fan of Trump at the time, but he's a fan of free speech. He comes along and he pays $44 billion for Twitter. Who would do this except him? No one would. He wasn't even bidding against anyone. And he forked out $44 billion to save free speech in America, to expose so much of these shadowy networks created by the dear leader. The dear leader's been exposed and silenced to go with it. There's more here on the police state in Little Israel in the Middle East and their target, Benjamin Netanyahu. Maybe I can get to that on Wednesday. That would be next year. Maybe I'll get to that story next year. How does that sound? We'll conclude with a few emails that have come in recent days. This one here says, really love your show, especially because you don't have cussing. appreciate that very much. You know, it's kind of funny, but in case you haven't noticed, on podcasts all over the place, I mean, even on network television, broadcast television these days, you do see a lot of cursing. You do see a lot of people taking God's name in vain. We strive for a higher standard on this show. There certainly is, as I said earlier, there's a time for some righteous indignation. But even the way that God goes about that in the scriptures, I mean, he gives us a blueprint to work with. And we don't have to resort to cursing and taking God's name in vain, certainly not. Another one here says, I'm almost ready to call a true minister of God now. Next week is my deadline to have that done. Well, I think we got this a few days ago, so this is your week. Whoever you are, if you've been waiting to contact one of God's ministers to seek counsel, this is a message, by the way, that's all through the Bible. God saying how much we need guidance. Jeremiah 10:23 says that we don't even know the way to direct our steps. That's how much counsel. That's how much guidance we need. There's no shame in that. Humble yourself and reach out to God and His family and ask for direction. Ask for guidance. You want to go all the way with God, not halfway. You can't be half-hearted. Here again, here's another theme that runs right through the scriptures. Put your whole heart into this way of life. Don't operate with half measures, with a half-hearted approach. God says, be passionate, be zealous for Him, and He'll bless that. Another one here says, I am exuberant that finally the lying and the fraudulent regime media is being exposed. Well, we just read about that from Real Clear. Even an agency in the bloated federal bureaucracy has closed down because its mission was to target political opponents, to censor them, to blot them out. It says here, 2024 saw the wonderful silencing of Barack Hussein Obama and Donald Trump overcoming all attacks from Obama's puppet administration, rhino establishment Republicans, and deranged assassins. What a prophetic year. TheTrumpet.com foretold it all. What a prophetic year this has been. And of course, that's the theme of tomorrow's show, which will be a full hour, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting, a full hour on the many prophetic events from this past year. You can see it there, 2024 end of the year montage. That's been a tradition for this show for quite a few years now. Someone I saw on the chat at Rumble says that we also need to include the end of the year bloopers. I don't know if we had too many of those this past year. Hopefully I didn't make too many mistakes. I'm sure I made a few. But if we don't have a blooper reel, maybe we can aim for that sometime next year, just to have a little bit of fun along the way as well. Well, that last comment, I think, is a good one to end on as we lead into tomorrow's show. You don't want to miss it. Make sure that you go to the website, TrumpetDaily.com, or go to the Rumble channel tomorrow for the live stream. And of course, you can get to any and all of these shows after the fact when they're posted at both of those websites I just mentioned. Thank you for joining us on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us all year. And we'll see you on Wednesday.